What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. I want to thank you guys for joining me. This is the SRS Reviews podcast. So for those of you who don't know, what I try to do, if I miss a show, if I miss like a live post show on Fightful.com or YouTube.com/Fightful, I try to give our Fightful Select subscribers a bonus if they dare give a shit about what I think of shows. I try to review the shows that I miss there. To some degree, like I won't be talking about SmackDown this past week because I'll offer my short thoughts on that on this Friday's SmackDown show. But I was at AEW Rampage Friday. I was at GCW and Black Label Pro, Three Cups Stuffed, another fun show. And I was at AEW All Out. A quick thought on Three Cups Stuffed. What a fun show. What a great environment. Fans were just packed in there. It was so great. Wonderful vibe and environment, and I did not look at the card before I walked in that door. I was just like, hell yeah, Rampage is over. I'm gonna go there and watch this show almost completely blind. Now, I mean, a lot of the people I'm friends with and talk to are on this show, but man, I almost got emotional. Of all things this weekend, not over Daniel Bryan, not over CM Punk, not over Ruby, even though that was very emotional, or Adam Cole. But on that card was Too Cold Scorpio, and he is my favorite wrestler of all time, and I did not realize that he was on the card until his music hit, and that was very awesome. And I got to watch him work a great Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches match with Kurt Stallion. So shout out to Black Label Pro and Game Changer Wrestling for a great show, and of course they had an even bigger show the next night. Game Changer did, so... great to see Black Label Pro back doing things. Some of the best guys in wrestling, some of the nicest people in wrestling as well. And of course, we always love to see Denise killing it at GCW. She is so good. I'm so proud of her. But AEW, this past weekend, there was Rampage, and I thought it was a pretty good Rampage show, man. Sky Blue was so freaking over, man. And Tony Khan came out after her match with Red Velvet. Red Velvet, who has a banger of a theme live, by the way, and said, hey, Sky Blue, you want to be in the Battle Royal? Cool. She replaced Julia Hart, who was pulled from that show, but I thought that Rampage was pretty good. It was a harmless show. The matches on that they filmed for Dark were a lot of fun. They closed the night by having the Jurassic Express, almost called them Lucha Express, but had them send the crowd home happy with the music and all that. Oh, and All Out, oh my God, I feel very lucky that I got to be there to watch that live. Like, anybody that's known me for a long time knows that I battle ADHD. It's hard for me to pay attention to a lot of things for a long period of time. And I mean, this did not have that issue. Man, I was hooked onto everything there. Jesus Christ, what a show. What a show. The opening tag match was also actually supposed to be on the main show, but I thought it was a good way to get Orange Cassidy, Jurassic Express on the show, the Hardy Family Office, who you've given so much TV time to, like, put them on this show at least. And, of course, Best Friends win that match, and Butcher makes his return. So we had reported on FightfulSelect.com that Butcher was in town for this show, and as this match went on, I was sitting there thinking, why isn't he out there? Like, if he's got an injured thumb and he's been out for 4 months, he could just be out there to stand by the ring. Easy for me to say, guy without the torn thumb. But this was a fine match. Again, you get these people on the show that you've given a lot of TV time to, and it makes a lot of sense. All for that, a quick 9.5 minute match with a lot of cool spots. And then you kick off the show with Miro and Eddie Kingston. Just two guys that everybody's going to care about at this point, no matter what they do. Miro is exactly who we thought he was. He's who we thought he could be. And I know a lot of people didn't like the Kip Sabian stuff. Now, I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like that one feud with Best Friends lasted so, so long. It did not need to be that long. But I think that aspect of Miro's character was very important. And I mean, I even know people that worked with Miro for a long time that they're like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. I thought it was. I thought you had to see the softer side of Miro for the contrast to the Redeemer to work as well as it has. You have to see one end of the spectrum and the other. Now, I don't mean turning him into a joke. I don't think he was a joke. He was never losing. He wasn't getting beaten in those matches. Kip Sabian lost one, but Miro wasn't losing. So then when, of all things, he destroys his best friend, puts his best friend on the shelf for months and months and months, you know he'll do that to anybody. He will rip your spine out of your asshole if you cross him. And Eddie Kingston crossed him. The nuts were redeemed. This was a lot of fun. Eddie Kingston, I think, should go into a feud with MJF. I think that there's a lot of genuine emotion that can be conjured up there. The two guys from different sides of the tracks in a fairly close region. Miro should go on to face top talent. I mean, all due respect to Lee Johnson, I think that they should have Miro facing main event level guys. And I think Eddie Kingston is a main event level guy. I mean, he's competed for the title and all that stuff. But I would have Miro facing like really top guys here. Like, for the love of God, do Jericho and Miro for the TNT title and have Miro win. That would be great. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defeated Chris Statlander. This was so good. Britt Baker has gotten so good in the ring. Chris Statlander is a sirloin beef, son's a bitch. She is a great bass. I did a review, my mother's basement, or my mom's basement, it's called, with Robbie Fox. And he said that she's the best bass in women's wrestling, and I got to agree with him. And I think that's awesome. Like, she has transformed herself since she came back, and she's better than ever. She is so good. I love the 11.5-minute runtime on this match. Wasn't too long. That's one of the things I really like about AEW. They could have chopped off a few minutes in a few matches. Like, I think they could shorten the Battle Royal to... I think they could probably chop about 4 or 5 minutes off of that by shortening the intervals. I think MJF and Chris Jericho could have been a few minutes less. And I think Paul White and QT Marshall could have been about 1.5 minutes less even. But otherwise, I didn't think anything went like way, way, way too long. And Britt Baker has just gotten so good at chain wrestling and transitions and the little things. She's always good at finding the red light on the camera, but doing the Panama Sunrise, which was called the Pittsburgh Sunrise by Excalibur, was so great. And it put doubt in my mind. Like, when she did it, I was like, okay, well, surely he's not going to come. He, Adam Cole, pronouns pal, is not going to show up tonight because she teased it on Wednesday and then swerved us. And then she's teasing it tonight. Surely they're not going to go this heavy-handed, right? Wrong. And that's one of the things that's fun about AEW. You can't really predict everything that's going to happen. And this is 2 days after I heard he was going to be it All Out. And the swerves were still going on. Fun times, man. They really had set up a murderer's row for Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, between Chris Statlander going on that hot streak and challenging at this pay-per-view. And we'll just talk about the Battle Royal now. Ruby Soho won, and that, you know, she's on the docket, obviously. Thunder Rosa is still there whenever they want. Hikaru Shida, I think, would be a great match for like a Dynamite or a Rampage, a main event of a Rampage on a Friday night. You run that back because she's going to keep winning and winning and winning. You just have to get these women on television more. I love the way they built this Battle Royal. They made it seem like it mattered because it did matter. They gave it TV time. They ran an Ali and Penelope Ford story. They ran a Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose angle. They let you know that this match was important to win. And Ruby Soho won it, and they've got a lot of things set up. And then there's Jade Cargill, who eliminated 3 people. Nyla Rose, who eliminated 5 people. And they weren't even on the murderer's row that I just mentioned. And Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, can work a babyface or a heel. It doesn't matter. People just want to see her work. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Battle Royal. Sky Blue in the Battle Royal, super over. Very cool to see. Emi Sakura back. I hope that she kind of gets her footing underneath her. This wasn't like the best performance, and I know how good she is in the ring. And I'm so glad that she's made alterations since the last time she's been around. She is very helpful. Oh my gosh, she's so invaluable to have around as well. So I'm hoping that she'll get her footing back and all that stuff, and we're going to see some bangers out of her, I'm sure. Kiera Hogan involved in the Battle Royal is a good thing. Kylin King is a good thing. Riho did not last very long. I was shocked by that. It seems like they've fallen out of love with Riho based on how she was booked here. I'm just very shocked by that because of how heavy-handed they went on her. But Diamante and Big Swole continued their feud. It's very much Peter Griffin versus the Chicken, something that I've always wanted. And then we got Jamie Hayter with a couple eliminations. You had Layla Hirsch in the match. Man, I want to see Layla Hirsch and Jessamine Duke have a match at Bloodsport. I want to see the 6 foot tall woman against the 4 foot 10, 4 foot 9 woman in like a shoot style match so bad. Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose were very dominant, but this really was about Thunder Rosa and Ruby Soho, and especially Ruby Soho. So Thunder Rosa is going to get a big pop no matter what. She's made. She's going to be one of the biggest women stars in the world for the next 5 to 10 years, however long she decides to do it. But the crowd was chanting Ruby Soho before she even came out. And when she came out, it looked like she was almost in tears. The only elimination she got was Thunder Rosa, which was a nice thing to see because she deserves all this, man. Like, the unanimous reception in the locker room, both locker rooms from AEW, people telling me how excited they were for her to come in. Great reception from people in WWE. People in WWE tell me they were very emotional about this and very happy for her. At the scrum, she was very emotional. She was very tearful. You could tell that she was just happy to be wanted and cared for and in a place where she could do something good creatively. And, man, that was very emotional to see as well. Like, almost made me tear up seeing her tear up because of all the, like, I had never spoken to Ruby before, before Sunday night scrum, but I had heard so many different people say so many different good things about her that I was like, oh, geez, man. Like, I know how much people care about her, and it's good to know that she also knows that that's not just reciprocated by her peers, but the fans. And that's just, man, that was so cool to see. I thought this Battle Royal came off just really, really well. You've got names like I mentioned, Emi Sakura, that we haven't seen a ton of lately. You got Riho, who is very familiar and was a former champion. Nyla, a former champion. And then, of course, Jade Cargill. You've got mini feuds going on. You've got full-on feuds going on. I thought this was done really well. They have also fixed the production snafus from, like, was it 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, where all five people came out at the same time. Now it's five at a time, but one by one as that happens. I think they could chop off about a minute to 90 seconds from that time in between, and therefore the match would be about 16, 17 minutes long, and it would be a lot more satisfying for people. Jon Moxley defeated Kojima. This was a fine match. Kojima was over with the crowd, about 12 minutes long. This was what you expected, but what you didn't expect was Minoru Suzuki to come out. And this, I don't want to say it's a sad thing. It's an embarrassment of riches. Almost nobody was talking about Minoru Suzuki coming out by the end of the night. And I get to watch this match tonight in Cincinnati. I'm so stoked. I get to watch Jon Moxley in his hometown, a town that I spent an awful lot of time in growing up and still do, face Minoru Suzuki. I did not expect that to be on my docket this week. An incredible pop. They went really heavy-handed on returns, debuts, all that stuff that night, and it made things exciting. It was the right crowd to do it in front of because it was your hardcore. I mean, it seems like every audience is hardcore, but like if they had announced this as a mystery opponent, I'm not sure how Cincinnati would react to it. I don't know how many hardcore wrestling fans are in Cincinnati as opposed to a fly-in show where everybody's coming to visit. So Moxley defeated Kojima. Good run time on that, too. We're really going to put that over. Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks. Oh, my God. So I'm not ready to say this was better than Omega Page versus the Bucks, but, man, it wasn't far behind it, and that's not a bad thing. When the Young Bucks go to Chicago, special things happen. The ladder match a couple years ago, the Revolution match, this one. Lucha Brothers had an incredible entrance. I was told that a lot of that was Alex Eberhantes's idea by people in AEW. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, he clearly had a vision for himself with coming out there looking like The Weeknd. So he very clearly had daydreamed about this in the past and got it approved. But man, what a superstar entrance that was. There are so many times over the past 30, 35 years that we've seen cage matches on TV that it almost feels like a limitation. You know, they announce a cage match and we're like, oh, okay, we know the drill. They're going to get thrown into the cage a couple times, climb up, fall to the mat, yada, yada. These teams turned it into a high flyer structure. They turned it into a tool instead of a limitation. And there was one specific turning point in where I realized that this match was getting very special. That kick out. There was a kick out that the Lucha Brothers did after a big Young Bucks move. I'm sorry, I was behind a corner. I didn't get to see it really, really well. But I saw the crowd really well. The crowd got to their feet and aggressively cheered this kick out. And I mean, like, got up and were, like, cheering at Lucha Brothers. It's like they were saying, get the fuck up, beat these chodes, and win these titles. This crowd wanted everything to succeed. And Lucha Brothers Young Bucks succeeded. That Mexican Destroyer off the top rope, holy shitting balls, man. Rey Fénix felt like he was up in the air forever. It was just magnificent. Just beautiful. This was good tag team wrestling. The shoes with the thumbtacks on the bottom. Oh my God, man. Like, they were able to smartly and wisely work things into here and add, like, one foreign object that would make sense how it got in there. This was so good. And the Lucha Brothers won. And now I'm sitting here saying, okay, do Lucha Brothers versus Santana and Ortiz at Arthur Ashe. If for some reason you haven't watched this match, please watch it. This was incredible. This was, I know I pause a lot. I'm trying to find the words. I'm trying to find what to say to even, like, to make this seem, to add to it what they didn't already add to it themselves. I don't know what I could possibly say more than the story that they told in the ring and with their athleticism and what they did. Perfect. Just perfect. Chris Jericho defeated MJF by submission. I do think this could have been a few minutes shorter. The restart got the crowd so hot. So hot. And this was good stuff. I was so happy that Jericho adjusted and did a version of the Lion Tamer. That was very cool. There was a specific spot that just made me almost jump out of my seat. It's when Jericho was doing the top rope Frankensteiner, top rope Hurricanrana, and MJF caught him with, like, the high angle rampage sit down powerbomb. The rampage powerbomb is Rampage Jackson. He was caught in a triangle, powerbombed Ricardo Arona out of it, and it wasn't like a standard powerbomb where the legs are over the shoulders. It's where Ricardo Arona had hit him in, like, a triangle. It looked like that from my angle. I don't know if that's how it was because I haven't got to watch that back. But it looked scary at the time, and then it couldn't have ended safer. And there's a whole lot of people that just seem to think, oh, well, MJF is just good on the mic. No, he's a very, very great worker too. Not just that, but he's able to mix this modern style, this modern pace with old school psychology, and it makes for matches like this where by the end, you can do a dusty finish and you don't feel like you got fucked as a viewer. You feel, and he's going to be able to emerge from this really well. That's why I think he should do the Eddie Kingston feud. Jericho, I don't think, should have beat MJF. I don't think this stip should have been on. I don't know if I needed the rematch, but I think that MJF should move on to Eddie Kingston because it's like he wants to pick on the kid that is not him. He wants to pick on the guy that is the complete opposite of what he is, and people will care about it. Jericho's entrance was interesting. The crowd seemed like they forgot the lyrics, but yeah, it was okay live. It was all right live. MJF's was outstanding. The troll from the countdown, like, of all the things that you hear people say, oh, MJF should parody this song or come out to this song and swerve everybody. I didn't expect them to do that with the countdown. And of course, the countdown's not trademarked. It's just a countdown, right? Oh, I thought that that worked out so, so well. CM Punk defeated Darby Allin by pinfall. CM Punk works that interesting style of where it is a very WWE main event style. I mean, actual main events of pay-per-views, not main event the show, or else the match would have been 3 minutes, where he can go 16 minutes, 17 maybe. But the first 5 minutes are very slow-paced and plodding, and then about once every 90 seconds to 2 minutes, something big happens, and it makes you feel like you can't take your eyes off the screen. Loved CM Punk wearing the tights. That's a nice way to reinvent yourself after being in trunks for so long, and that's how people last saw you. So switch it up a little bit. I really liked that. I thought that was a good approach, a good way to do things. Darby Allin was great in this match, but my favorite part is when you see CM Punk, who we last saw some 7.5 years ago. Gosh, he was what, 36 years old, maybe? I mean, maybe 35. And by wrestler standards today, that's barely hitting your physical prime. We saw him be the crafty veteran to Darby Allin, the young, reckless guy, where Darby Allin went for the coffin drop and CM Punk just sat up and he's like, yeah, I learned this one during my travels. Love the GTS that landed Darby outside. Darby was bumping his ass off for Punk. Right call to have Punk win, and I know a lot of you are like, oh, no brainer, but Punk seems like the kind of guy that's like, you know, I said all this shit in these interviews in the past, these podcasts. I do want to put over younger talent, but it seems like Punk is there. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a part-time guy necessarily. So him winning was a great way to avoid the air being sucked out of the crowd. However, I don't know if putting Paul White versus QT Marshall up next was the best course of action. There were tall Paul chants that were getting started. Unfortunately, each time, Paul White would back Marshall up into the corner and do the shh and chop. I don't think he knew they were going on, though. This is fine. It was short. Whatever. It should have been a little bit shorter, but okay. I'd like to see Paul White and Mark Henry as like the APA, like these old 50-year-old guys that will just come out and choke slam and World Strongest Slam you and get the hell out of there and get you off the screen. I would love to see that. Main event, Kenny Omega, Christian Cage. The crowd was not into this early on. To me, it was personally a thing of where, okay, we've seen this match. We know who's winning this match. We know it's going to be a solid match, but still we know who's winning. And that's what happened. The match was really good. Christian Cage is so good. He does not give a damn about Christian Cage, man. If that doesn't inspire a lot of other wrestlers that think that maybe they're done, I don't know what else can. This guy spent 7 years away from pro wrestling. I don't know how much training he did during that time, but it looks like he did a lot. But we would never hear about it. We'd never hear about him being in the ring and all that, but he hasn't missed a beat. And really, Christian coming back from a similar layoff to CM Punk gave me hope for CM Punk. I was like, okay. And I mean, Edge, obviously, but a lot of Edge's matches were, okay, it's the Royal Rumble. Okay, it's a cinematic match. Another cinematic match after that. A lot of protective stuff there before, obviously, we saw him working regular matches. Triple threats, even. With Christian, they brought him back. He's been working singles matches. He's been doing it on live TV, and he's been doing well. And that gave me hope for CM Punk, because CM Punk had been doing MMA training, and there's a lot of similarities in that regard. So, gave me a lot of hope there. Then after this match, Omega and the Elite beat down Christian Cage. Jurassic Express tried to make the save, and Adam Cole comes out. They got the music, they got the Tron, they got everything good to go. In the scrum after the show, he said that he wasn't necessarily unhappy in WWE. He liked working there. He was satisfied there, but he knew he had to come here, and mentioned the crowd as one of the reasons. And he said that he had a lot of fun in WWE. The Brian and Cole promos and talks after this. And by the way, we have the full scrum up on YouTube.com/Fightful. We have the individual scrums and clips up on YouTube.com/Fightful Scraps. Fightful Scraps is our clips channel. Please subscribe that. Please check it out. But we have both of those up there. Cole turned on all the good guys, joined the Elite. I think that's great. You load the Elite. You keep them from being stale because you got to keep them from being stale. You can't just do the same five guys forever. And Nakazawa and Brandon Cutler. They gloat about him joining the Elite and Daniel Bryan's music hits. And I do mean Daniel Bryan's music hits, the WWE Ride of the Valkyries hits, and Bryan Danielson comes out. Now, it is remixed. I know a lot of people were expecting the Final Countdown. I'm fine with Ride of the Valkyries. That's what he's used for a decade in WWE with a bit of an adjustment. He comes out, helps clear the ring, and he cuts a promo off air where he says he was very happy where he worked before, but he had to come here to experience this crowd. The scrum was very telling. I mean, the scrums had Ruby Soho, Lucha Brothers, Tony Khan sat in on all of them, which I thought was a great touch. Instead of doing like an hour towards the end, he just sat in on all of them and helped provide clarity on a lot of this stuff. That was really good. Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk. Again, all those are up at YouTube.com/Fightful and Fightful Scraps. But he even said that Vince McMahon was a bit overprotective of him, and he has a great relationship with Vince, but he has to experience this. What a show this was. What a night that was. It was a very, very crazy night, busy night. So glad I got to meet so many of you. We got Bryan Danielson, Ruby Soho, Adam Cole, Minoru Suzuki coming back. The Butcher came back. I mean, let that not be lost in things. I mean, their tag team division did get some additional depth with the Butcher coming back, and that's very helpful for them as well. But, man, two major names hopping over. A name that is globally familiar in Ruby Soho, but has not been not had that potential really tapped. This was a giant W for AEW on Sunday night. A huge win. Thank you to everybody who visited with us, who came up and talked to us and told us how much you liked Fightful. That will never be lost on me. Thank you all so much. I truly appreciate every single one of you for allowing me to get to do my dream job and get to travel to events like this. Quite frankly, a lot of these trips for us, fortunately for some, they're not money losers. But for us, we don't get to get a lot of interviews. AEW doesn't set those up. So we try to make our money back on the scrums and just giving you guys additional content here to help you guys hopefully realize that your $5 is worth it. So the fact that you guys invest in us and allow us to do this and travel and get to learn more about wrestling and get more information will never be lost on me. Thank you so much for being good to us. Until next time, we're out.